Sturgill will be gone 4 days before President Bush. Airline load factors are up slightly, and Embraer's Lineage 1000 earns FAA certification. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 8, 2009. It would come as no surprise to learn that acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill would not be retained by the incoming Obama administration. But many eyebrows have been raised following President Bush's announcement that Sturgill will be replaced by a new acting administrator just 4 days before Obama's inauguration. Lynn Osmus will take over effective January 16th. She's currently the FAA Assistant Administrator for Security and Hazardous Materials. That's a position she's held since July of 2003. She's been with the FAA since 1979 and an executive since 1990, primarily in the field of aviation security. She was appointed to be Deputy Associate Administrator of FAA's Civil Aviation Security Program just 3 months before the 9/11 attacks, then led the FAA's transition of those security programs to the TSA. She's also been the agency's point person in working with the Obama transition team, led by her old boss, former FAA Administrator Jane Garvey. There's been no word on whether Sturgill resigned to precipitate the change. When the U.S. domestic airlines announced last summer that they were planning capacity cuts, some industry observers worried the cuts would be too deep. Most of those carriers have now posted their stats for December, and it looks as if they planned about right. Among the statistics, load factor expresses the number of passengers flying on a commercial airliner as a percentage of seats available. While individual flights can vary widely from the average, load factor is a good general measure of how well capacity is matched to demand. Delta Airlines proudly boasted this week it achieved a load factor for December of 80.1. That's an increase of 0.7 over December of 2007. The airline reported domestic travel on both Delta and Northwest, quote, were higher than any previous December on record, unquote. Farther down the page, though, in the same news release, Delta said year-over-year capacity on its branded flights decreased 2.4%. Together with the load factor, it shows that capacity cuts were slightly greater than the drop in demand due to the recession, allowing the small increase in load factor. Over on the Northwest side, system traffic in December dropped 3.6%, but capacity was down 4.5%. That allowed a slight increase in load factor for Northwest, reported at 81.9 in December. American and United also guessed about right, with capacity cuts which ended up closely matching drops in passenger counts. Both airlines posted slight improvements in load factor. Southwest and AirTran bucked the industry trend, posting both actual increases in passenger volume and declines in available seats. Southwest's load factor jumped to 69.7%. That's up 1.5 from the 68.2 recorded the same period the previous year. While slightly improved load factors and dramatically cheaper fuel since last summer are good news for the carriers, the numbers suggest the airlines didn't achieve their real goal, tilting supply and demand enough to allow significantly higher ticket prices. If the recession eases during 2009 and demand rebounds, they may achieve that goal and at the same time renew the fears of price-conscious consumers. Embraer announced yesterday it has received the type certificate and supplemental type certificate from the FAA for its Lineage 1000 executive jet. The STC is for the jet's interior, which was designed, manufactured, and installed by PATS Aircraft Completions, a subsidiary of Decrane Aerospace located in the U.S. Luis Carlos Afonso, Embraer Executive VP for Executive Jets, commented, quote, "One of the great achievements of this project regards to the maximum range of the aircraft, which was extended to 4,500 nautical miles, giving operators new possibilities for routes and destinations," unquote. The jet previously received certification in Europe and Brazil. The Lineage 1000 is the largest executive jet in Embraer's portfolio and is based on the Embraer 190 commercial airliner. Early speculation about an accident at Denver last month in which a Continental 737 veered off a runway during its takeoff run and was destroyed has centered on the role crosswinds might have played. While the 32-knot gusts recorded at DIA that day are well below the plane's demonstrated envelope and should also have been within the envelope of an experienced pilot, some observers still wonder if a crosswind strong enough to weather vane the big plane might have caused the accident. The plane ran off the runway and rumbled across a taxiway and a service road, then across about a half mile of snow-covered fields. It had its main gear and one engine sheared off and caught fire. There were 38 injuries among passengers and crew, but no fatalities. The Associated Press cites the comments of John Cox, a former pilot and president of Safety Operating Systems, which is an aviation consulting firm in Washington, D.C. Cox says winds were definitely a factor, but, quote, whether it's causal or not, I don't think you have enough information to go there yet. The National Transportation Safety Board has determined that there were no problems with the main gear tires or brakes. The nose gear collapsed and wound up buried beneath the wreckage. It's now been unearthed, but there is no word yet on any clues it might offer. In an update to its factual report, which was released yesterday, NTSB revealed that both pilots recalled in separate interviews with investigators that the takeoff went normally until the aircraft suddenly drifted left of centerline, and neither the rudder nor nose wheel steering was effective in regaining control. The pilots have not been identified, but the NTSB notes the captain had about 13,000 logged hours, including about 5,000 in the 737, while the first officer had 7,500 total hours and about 1,500 hours in type. The final NTSB report on probable cause is likely a year away. Up next on ANN, a former Boeing line worker gets 10 months for sabotage. Airlines fight the FAA's new crew rest rules. And India becomes the first foreign buyer for Boeing's P-8. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 8th. I'm Paul Platt. I now know that a factory environment is not the place for me. That was one of the more obvious comments Monday from former Boeing worker Matthew Montgomery before a judge sentenced him to 10 months for attempting to sabotage a Chinook helicopter on the assembly line at Ridley Park, Pennsylvania last year. As ANN reported, production came to a halt in May after workers discovered about 70 electrical wires from the cockpit to the main body of an H-47 had been cut. A suspicious washer was also found in a second helicopter. The latter incident remains under investigation, but the Associated Press reports the 33-year-old Montgomery admitted using wire cutters on the first Chinook on May 10th. Montgomery told the judge he was stressed by the repetitiveness of his assembly line position and about the fact he'd recently been transferred to another line position at the plant, despite applying for jobs at other Boeing facilities. His lawyer brought up unspecified problems from his childhood. U.S. District Judge R. Barclay Surik sentenced Montgomery to 5 months in jail and 5 months under house arrest, which is near the low end of judicial guidelines. He'll report to prison next month. The FAA's new airline crew rest requirements were designed to update rules which predate the era of long-haul jets. The National Transportation Safety Board has called for the revisions to reduce the risks associated with flight crew fatigue. But the airlines are fighting the change, with seven carriers banding together in a lawsuit against the FAA. The Allied Pilots Association, the union representing over 11,000 pilots at American Airlines, is criticizing that airline for its participation in the suit. APA President Captain Lloyd Hill commented, quote, American Airlines management's effort to block new crew rest rules that are designed to reduce the well-established safety risks associated with pilot fatigue is nothing short of unconscionable. We cannot fathom their rationale. Although we would like to see the FAA take a more aggressive stance on pilot fatigue, we consider the new rules to be a step in the right direction. Cost-cutting should never take precedence over safety, unquote. The plaintiffs in the suit include passenger airlines American, Continental, United, U.S. Airways, and JetBlue, and cargo carriers Evergreen and Atlas. The suit claims the new rules impose a financial burden on carriers with no evidence they'll improve safety, and seek a formal rulemaking process to allow industry input. Hartzell Propeller announced yesterday that in response to market interest in reduction of the weight of its propeller systems, the company has earned FAA type certification for the manufacture of a new lighter weight hub that can be used in conjunction with its ASC2 composite blades. The first unit was certified and delivered to Cirrus Aircraft in December for use on the SR-22. It saves over 4 pounds compared to the original, not counting the 12 pounds already saved by using composite blades versus aluminum. Hartzell Senior VP Mike Disbro says the company plans, quote, to roll this design out across future ASC2 propeller applications, unquote. The government of India has selected Boeing to provide 8 P-8I long-range maritime reconnaissance and anti-submarine warfare aircraft to the Indian Navy. The P-8I is a variant of the P-8A Poseidon that Boeing is developing for the U.S. Navy. India is the first export customer for the plane. Boeing will deliver the first aircraft within 48 months of the contract signing and the remaining 7 by 2015. The P-8 series is based on Boeing's venerable 737. It can operate over land or water while performing anti-submarine warfare missions, search and rescue, maritime interdiction, and long-range intelligence, surveillance, target acquisition, and reconnaissance. Still ahead, Britain honors a hero who rescued a pilot. A 16-year-old's airliner mural wins her a trip to Disneyland. And the badges look really cool, but what's up with the red spots? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 8th. I'm Paul Platt. A British aircraft engineer who rescued a colleague from the wreckage of a vintage aircraft will be awarded the Queen's Gallantry Medal. Kevin George Francis was recommended for the honor for his actions on September 6, 2006, when he worked for the aircraft restoration company at the Imperial War Museum, Duxford, in Cambridgeshire. Francis's duties included the maintenance of a Lockheed Canada Air T-33 aircraft operated from the airfield. On that day, he was in the rear cockpit of the aircraft as it took off en route to the Jersey Air Show. Well, the takeoff failed and ended in a cartwheel into trees and a 100-foot fireball. Fighting intense heat, burning fuel, and choking fumes, Francis used the plane's emergency tool to cut a hole in the cockpit canopy, allowing some of the smoke to escape. Although he was able to squeeze his way out of the broken canopy, the pilot was slumped in his seat and did not respond to calls. Despite flames engulfing parts of the cockpit, Francis ran to the front of the aircraft and deployed an emergency mechanism to blow the canopy, climbed on the canopy rail, released the pilot from his harness, and pulled him clear. Francis downplays his role. Quote, "I suppose I acted on instinct more than anything. I couldn't breathe or see properly, but I just went on to autopilot and acted like a robot. It was almost like there was somebody else in my body, a very weird experience," unquote. The Queen's Gallantry Medal is awarded to civilians and military personnel in recognition of exemplary acts of bravery. Although the decoration has been in existence since 1974, fewer than 600 have been awarded. To help celebrate this year's 50th anniversary of Alaska's statehood, Alaska Airlines, Disney, the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, and the Alaska Statehood Celebration Commission sponsored a contest inviting Alaskan students from kindergarten to 12th grade to come up with artistic ideas to adorn one of the airline's 737s. Thousands of entries were judged for originality, creativity, and the ability to express the theme, the spirit of Alaska, in a positive and creative manner. The winning entry was submitted by 16-year-old Hannah Hamburg, a junior from Sitka High School. Hannah says of her effort, quote, "Growing up in a small town in Alaska, I've seen how Alaskans work together and help each other. My design was inspired by the way that we all pull together," unquote. The concept of pulling together is depicted in a paint scheme picturing a sled dog at the front of each side of the plane, a sled at the rear, and the positions in between, which would normally be occupied by other sled dogs, filled instead with a ferry boat, a bear, a whale, and a boat paddled by indigenous people. The winning entry can be viewed at painttheplane.com. Hannah says her win has her considering a career in art. For now, she's won a trip for four to Disneyland. The Charles M. Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California, is celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Apollo 10 mission with an exhibition highlighting the connection between NASA's pioneering astronauts and Peanuts' barnstorming beagle, Snoopy. In May of 1969, Apollo 10 astronauts Gene Cernan, John Young, and Tom Stafford went to the moon for one final checkout and to scout landing sites before the Apollo 11 mission that finally landed there. Because the Apollo 10 mission required the lunar module to skim the moon's surface to within 50,000 feet and snoop around, the crew named the lunar module Snoopy and the Apollo command module Charlie Brown. The characters were even painted on the spacecraft. Apollo 10 astronauts Cernan and Stafford will join recovery team members Chuck Smiley and Wes Chesser at the museum on January 31st to kick off the exhibition, which includes a 1/3 scale model of the Apollo command module from the Johnson Space Center, an Apollo-era flight suit, the actual image of Charlie Brown that was flown aboard Apollo 10, and a special children's area for creative play. The exhibition runs through July 20th. You can find out more at www.schulzmuseum.org. That's Schulz, S-C-H-U-L-Z. And finally, you'd think Transportation Security Administration workers would be grateful to get their new uniforms, designed to fool passengers into thinking they're law enforcement agents, given how hard the agency fought for the new look. Well, unfortunately, the Chicago Sun-Times reports problems. Some employees have complained of skin rashes, lightheadedness, respiratory distress, and other symptoms since the uniforms made their debut last summer. The problem appears confined to uniforms manufactured in Honduras. Mexican-made uniforms have not produced the symptoms. The flap is providing an opportunity for the American Federation of Government Employees to score some points in its quest to unionize TSA workers. Union President John Gage says some TSA managers have fought to deny workers' compensation claims filed over the symptoms. He's demanding that TSA force its supplier to recall and replace the uniforms. The rashes aren't the only complaints. Apparently, there's a problem blowing out the seams in the bottoms of the uniform pants. Maybe they just weren't designed for climbing on temperature probes. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of Rod Machado's entertaining talk on in-flight emergencies from AOPA's 2008 fly-in. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.